lesson me more of you.
That's it.
Take this mouth and speak to it. Take this mind and think through it. My heart set it on fire that your words will go forth. And it will be a seed that falls on good ground. Lives will be fruitful. Now, Father, cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy. Nothing will hinder your word from going forth. And when you would have finished with us, you'll still be God, having all the honor, power, and glory. In Jesus' name, we ask all of these things. Every heart say amen. Come on, it's good to be alive. It's good to be in the house of the Lord once again. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. Last night could have been my last and could have been your last, but God deemed it necessary. Bless us to see a new day. And we have a portion of health and strength. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. John chapter 14, verse 27. Thank you, Reverend Pope, for presiding over this worship experience. Thank you, angelic voices of our young people. Come on, bless the Lord for our young people. Amen. Thank you, brethren, for leading us in devotion. And thank you for your prayers. Amen. I feel the praying of God's people. Amen. Thank you. Amen. For your participation. John 14, verse 27. If you have it, say amen. If you're looking for it, say wait. All right. Hopefully and prayerfully, those that are watching virtually are with us. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let me just read that again. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives or giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, Jesus, the giver of peace. Amen. Look at somebody else, if you will, and say, Jesus, the giver of peace. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. Jesus, the giver of peace. John chapter 14, verse 27 is a part of Jesus' farewell discourse with his 12 disciples. Prior to chapter 14, Jesus mentioned several times his exodus or his evacuation. 6 days before this discussion, he warned his disciples of his going away. In John chapter 12, Jesus sat at the table of Simon. With Simon, his 12 disciples, and Lazarus eating. Mary took an expensive oil and anointed Jesus' feet. While they were at the table, Judas Iscariot aroused the other disciples, concerning what Mary was doing for Jesus. He claimed that the oil could have been sold to help the poor. When Jesus knew his heart was the least bit concerned about the poor. Jesus said to the disciples, Mary is doing this in preparation for my burial. He was speaking of his departure. John chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus said, Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. He was speaking about his departure. In John chapter 13, verse 21, while sitting in the upper room at the table with his disciples eating the Passover meal, Jesus exposed Judas. Said, the one that dips with me shall betray me. And while he was there with his disciples, he knew that it was Judas who would betray him with a kiss. He knew his time had come. He was speaking of his departure. John chapter 13, verse 33. Jesus says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. He was speaking about his departure. He wanted his disciples to know that he wasn't going to be with them always in the flesh. It was a disturbing time. It was a time that really shook them to the core. But right on the heels of the disturbing news, he gives good news. He says, it's necessary that I go, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'm sending to you the Holy Ghost, and he shall comfort you. I like that. He said bye-bye and hello at the same time. I'm going, but I'm coming. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus on the inside of us. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather have Jesus on the inside than just having him on the outside. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to give you something that the world can't give you. He says, peace I leave with you. I'm leaving you, but I'm going to the Father. I'm leaving you, but I'm going to leave you something that you are going to need. He says, peace I leave with you. I like that because we live in a very disturbed world. We live in a very chaotic time, time of trouble and trepidation. But right in the midst of our troubles and trepidation, God gives us something that's more durable and more enduring and lasting than our troubles. He gives us peace. Hallelujah. Peace, peace, peace. I leave with you. I'm glad I got it. My life would be a wretch and a wreck if I didn't have the peace. I'm glad I got it. I'm glad I got something on the inside of me that holds me and keeps me in spite of what's going on in my life. I'm glad I got it. And I got peace. When the world calls for trouble and for spirits to be uneasy, God gives us peace. Peace in the Old Testament is shalom. Shalom is a formula of well-wishing. It is a prescription for blessedness. Shalom has a deep meaning and conveys a sense of being free from trouble, experiencing the best life and spiritual prosperity. Jesus' word for peace is not just merely words to wish them well, but he gave them a spiritual freedom in the midst of their troubles. He was assuring his disciples of their peace with God. And because they had peace with God, they would experience the peace of God. This was not to say that they were not going to face trouble. But when they faced troubles, their troubles would not and could not change the way they felt about God and the way God felt about them. Their troubles could not separate them from God. The word peace is more than well-wishing. The word Jesus gives for peace is irene in the Greek, and it means prosperity, one, peace, quietness, rest, set at one again. Irene literally means to bind together or to weave together. It means that one person is joined to another and more importantly, joined with God. He says, you are not alone. I'm with you. You know, when you're dealing with trouble in life, it's just good to know that you got somebody with you. And you know, God is not just somebody. He's God who rules and super rules heaven and earth. He says, I'm joined with you. That's why I don't fret. That's why I don't be troubled and uneasy in my spirit. It's because I know God is with me. And if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. You got somebody joined with you. So as we experience situations that brings perplexity and turmoil, we are right. We experience trials, troubles, and tribulations after making a decision to follow Jesus, but we are right. Because he's with us and he'll never leave us. He was preparing his disciples for the inevitable and he was assuring their hearts that he would be with them. He would give them peace. He would give them peace. Two kinds of peace mentioned in the text. We need to investigate. First of all, notice the peace of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace. I'm preaching, Ben, y'all saying amen. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. He's speaking of peace as his possession. Notice the first peace mentioned is the peace that belongs to Jesus Christ. It is his prerogative to give his peace to anyone he wants. And he wants to give his peace to his people. He wants to give his peace to his followers. He says, my peace I give unto you. Hallelujah. He just gives it to us. We don't have to beg him for it. He just gives it to us. Isn't that wonderful? It's a gift. He says, I give. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. He gives it. I give it to you. It's mine. He uses a personal pronoun, mine. My peace. I give to you. Give means he bestows it on us. He gives us peace that we can't earn. He gives us peace that we don't deserve. That's why I don't understand why we don't shout about it. If you're peaceful, you ought to praise. That's why I don't understand how we can come and sit a whole service and say nothing. All this peace that God has given us through his son, Jesus Christ, he gives us peace. I've experienced enough already in life to have lost my mind several times, but I got peace. I've been talked about enough already to be in some insane asylum, but I got peace. I've had stuff taken from me, but that's all right. I got peace. May not be wearing what I want to wear and driving what I want to drive and living where I want to live, but that's all right. I got peace. May not be on the job that I went to school for and plan to be on for the rest of my days, but that's all right. I got, somebody ought to help me, shout peace. He has bestowed it on me. It's a gift of grace. It's unearned, unmerited. The peace Christ gives is to all who saved. It is one of the benefits we receive from God as his child. We don't fret like the world. We don't worry like the world. We got peace that the world doesn't have. He says peace is a gift. It's a gift, but not only is it a gift, it's permanent. That this peace Jesus gives is lasting peace. It's continual peace. His peace is not situational. His peace is positional. Our position in him is eternal. So the peace we have from him is eternal. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus is the author and promoter of peace. Jesus' peace is eternal. His peace never changes because you are positioned in him. Your peace is eternal and will never change. I don't have to worry about losing it. I got it. And one thing about it, I didn't give it to myself. Oh my God. I got it. I got it. I got it. And it's permanent. It's with me eternally. Hallelujah. Not only is his peace permanent and it's a gift, but his peace is sentinel. In other words, his peace guards you in the midst of the chaos. It stands guard. It watches over you. When people are hurling insults, criticism, cuss words, and so-and-so, you still settle because they don't see your invisible friend. That you got something standing guard that's shielding you and keeping your mind from easing away. That's what Paul said. He says that the peace shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He says the peace of God guards your mind to prevent your mind from being worried, anxious, fretful, and fearful. The peace of Jesus comes directly from God to stand guard. He puts peace in the watchtower to keep you. He says, my peace is a gift. My peace is permanent. My peace is sentinel. It's a guard. But watch him. He makes a contrast. He says, not as the world gives. So there is peace in the world. Peace of the world. He says, not as the world gives. Now, I like this because I like to see this as world peace or pseudo peace. Pseudo peace is conditional contentment. It is conditional contentment because it is situational. In other words, peace of the world comes and goes. It is not always with you. That's why you see people that are unsaved sometimes feeling satisfied. Because the world can satisfy you, but that satisfaction is not eternal. That satisfaction has an expiration date. It is not lasting, enduring satisfaction. They will laugh for a little while, but their laugh will soon be cut off. They will have joy for a little while, but their joy will soon be cut off. They will have peace seemingly for a little while, but that peace will soon be cut off. It's conditional. People in the world have it as long as conditions are favorable. But when storms come. See, this pandemic is exposing folk. It's revealing the who's who. See, if you got it, it's going to show. If you don't have it, it's going to show. Winter time now, you just can't talk it. You got to walk it. And what you got is going to be revealed. Changing situations. See, life changes. It can't remain the same, but God says he gives us peace that's permanent, that it doesn't waver and weave and bobble and duck and dodge like life does. It's not up and down like life roller coaster. It's steady. He says, but the peace of the world is predicated upon circumstances. One writer says, worldly peace gives its best pleasure at the first. Peace of the world shifts based on the situations. When the situations and circumstances of your life change, pseudo peace is gone. You got peace as long as everybody's healthy in your family. You got peace as long as everybody is doing well in your family, according to world peace. You got peace as long as you are getting a constant paycheck. World peace. You got peace as long as he is still living at the address, or she is still living at the address. You got peace. You got peace as long as you have the money to pay your prescription bill, drug bill. You got peace. But as soon as situations shift and change, if you banking on peace in the world, it's gone. You become a worry freak. Uneasy. Unsettled. It's gone. You can tell it when something is happening because you don't have to look like what you're going through. You can tell it through conversation. You know, we have some people that talk so pitifully when circumstances are unfavorable. Oh, they can sing the song. They can tell the sad story. Where's your peace? Oh, as long as the relationship is going good, oh, you just as peaceful as you can be. But he decides to leave. And seemingly when he walked out, your peace went with him. She decided to go. And when she left, your peace went with her. Oh, God. Children acting up. Get in trouble. Got a court appearance. And you just worried to death. World peace. It's pretense peace. It has no constant reality. Jesus is not talking about that. He says, peace I give. Peace I give. Peace I give. Peace I give. Not as the world give. Well, you told me about it. Tell me, how can I get it? Well, we go back to verse 1 of chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. That's the statement. He says, this is how. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That's the answer. He didn't say believe on your job. Believe in your spouse. He didn't say believe in your children. He didn't say believe in your pastor. Believe in your church. Believe in the deacons. Believe in other people. He says believe in God and believe also in me. That's the answer. In other words, you got to trust God completely. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust God. Trust also in me. He says you got to obey God with your heart. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Know God intimately. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you. Jesus is able to keep your heart and mind. That's good news, brothers and sisters. That I'm not able to keep my own mind. But I got somebody who sits high and looked low, and he is able to keep me so I don't have to worry or fret, because my life is in his hands. Ain't the Lord all right? Let me leave you with a story about perfect picture of peace. It was a long ago a man sought the perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. The challenge stirred the heart and the imagination of artists everywhere. And the painting arrived from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived. And the judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another. And while the viewers viewed the uncovering of the poetries, they began to clap and cheer. But the tension grew because only two pictures remained unveiled. And as the judge pulled the cover from one of the pictures, a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. And surely this was the winner. But the man with the vision uncovered the second painting himself. And the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be a picture of peace? A tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. And the crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning and wind and rain. But in the midst of the thundering noise and bitter chill, a spanish tree clung over the rocks at the edge of the fall. And one of the branches reaching out in the front of the waterfall, as it is foolishly seeking to experience its full power, there was a little bird that built her nest in the branches that hung over in front of the waterfall. And as they looked at the bird, she was sitting in a nest, resting on her eggs, trying to hatch her eggs. And with her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifests peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. Good morning. May God bless your heart. I told you that story because, like the little bird that was hanging on the limb, that's how we can hold on to God in the midst of our troubles. The wind's blowing and the waters are beating, but that's all right because we got somebody who can hold us right in the midst of our troubles. You ought to shake somebody's hand and tell somebody that you got to stay with the Lord and you got to keep your hands in the Master's hands. And if you keep your hands in the Master's hands, he'll give you peace that transcends all of your earthly troubles.
How is he able to do it? Well, he brought into his flesh. He carried it about in his own person. He died to make it ours. He left it as a heritage of his disciples on earth. He implanted it and maintains it by his own spirit. In our hearts, he said, I go, and if I go, I will send you another comforter. Is there anybody in the room that got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you? If you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you ought to stand to your feet and give the Lord a praise and tell him thank you for peace that transcends all earthly troubles. You ought to tell him thank you for peace that guards your mind. You ought to tell him thank you for peace that was given to you because of Jesus hanging on Calvary's cross. He died, didn't he die? But he didn't stay dead early Sunday morning. He got out of that grave with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. Power to give you peace, power to keep you, power to satisfy you, power to motivate you, power to push you, power to encourage you. Ain't he all right? Let me hear you say yeah. He gives us peace that transcends all of life's troubles. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm not fearing anything this world can throw my way, because of his spirit with me. I'm not afraid of even closing my eyes to open them no more on this side, because I have my business fixed and my heart made up. And I have peace even in that. Peace to embrace my mortality. Listen, sickness is in the land. Death is in the land. Unemployment, divorce, disobedience of children. Suffering afflicted by others. We experience all of this, but we fret not. We're not uneasy in our spirit because we have peace. Listen, when people see you, they ought to see somebody that belongs to God. And if you know you belong to God, why worry? Why fret? Is all well? With or without, it's well. In or out, it's well. You got to get there in your faith and get there in your spirit. Because if not, this world is going to worry you to death. Learn the prayer of serenity. Learn to turn it over to the Lord. You can't do nothing about it anyway. Some stuff we say is not worth saying. Doing a whole lot of talking. And don't have any power to change anything. But I know someone who holds the whole world in his hand. I'm in his hands, and I can be at peace
because I know that I'm in his hand. Listen, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here in need of salvation, come, 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 receive him today as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus says, the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation. Often say delayed obedience is disobedience. You don't have tomorrow. You only have now. And if that's a decision you need to make that decision now. Satan is subtle. Satan is crafty. He works with delay and procrastination. He'll tell you to keep waiting. Keep putting it off. And the next thing you'll know is you're lost throughout eternity. Because you didn't get it right in time. Secondly, if you are here or listening, you need to be restored. Come. Come. We will pray with you, pray for you, that the Lord will build you within and give you strength. Give you back the joy of your salvation. Thirdly, if you are in need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, you can write us, call us, communicate with us through Facebook. Information is on the screen. Call the office at 205-425-9556. You can fax us at 205-425-9591. Or you can write us at 1730 11th Avenue North, Bessemer, Alabama. God bless you. God keep you today. As we are standing, may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you and me, now, forever. Amen.